people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles. It says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to just go all the way to the back?
Line 18, Wilshire, Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home. Across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go downstairs another tier, and in about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
An MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line. There's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard. Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with Freeways, with People, or his native L.A. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
The California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment, health happens in schools, at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605. No!
Welcome to Los Angeles NISA episode 138. I am the show creator, producer, and host, Eddie Solis. And tonight, my special co-host is Adam Murray, publisher of the Heavy Cream Zine. How are you, Adam?
Greetings. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. And Adam's actually a component to the new Vans Off the Wall documentary called Living Off the Wall. Check that video out. And it's a web documentary, a web series that he worked on. And you know, it shows the credits, and Adams did some great work on there.
Yeah, I did various crew jobs and stuff. It was Angela Boatwright's operation. It was a very classy deal.
Cool.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Mm-hmm.
HeavyCreamZine.com is the website to order your publication.
Yep.
We're doing a value add. Get a six-pack of Stoked Records and its casual stickers with every purchase.
Yep.
And my in-studio guest tonight is a group from Greater Los Angeles area. There's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Huntington Park, East LA, Echo Park, Monterey Park. Courage, you bastards. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how you doing, Eddie?
Good, good. Talk a little bit into the mic here. A little closer. Everyone,
sorry about
a little
that.
Closer. Get a little closer. Hey, yeah, no, I'm excited to have you guys. Been checking you guys out for a while, and we're actually playing a show together. It's going to be Saturday, May 31st. We're going to commemorate the 10-year anniversary of a significant skateboard shop in Whittier, California, called Two Felons. And they've already got over that, you know, that hump, 4 years, and they're doing well. And we're playing the official after party with you guys.
Woo! We're looking forward to that.
Phoenix 5-4. So is that your next show?
Yeah.
All right. So I got four guys in front of me. Let's start from my left and to Anthony's right. Come up and tell us your name and your occupation in the band.
Name's Adrian. I play the drums.
All right. and you're the guy so from East LA, Monterey Park area.
Yes.
Like ELAC area?
Exactly, right there, yeah.
Did you go to Brightwood Elementary School?
No, I didn't.
I went to Brightwood. You know Brightwood?
Yeah, I know where Brightwood's
at. Awesome, awesome. Okay.
Joey from Huntington Park.
All right.
I went to Garfield.
Garfield. Woo! All right. And
LA.
And you're a Huntington Park guy.
Right.
I got some HP questions, man. Maywood, Cudahy.
HP.
We're gonna go deep.
Nice.
Okay, Anthony. Yeah. Anthony Godoy.
Yeah, it's me. I'm from HP as well, a couple blocks away from Joey, and I went to Bravo High.
Bravo?
Yeah.
Cool. And what's your occupation?
I work for the school district as an IT guy.
Oh.
In the band.
No.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's all you do.
Smart people play punk rock.
I hang out with the band.
He does that on stage,
you don't
too.
Do nothing.
No.
You just stand
kids.
There, right?
I mimic a bass player.
Yeah.
Yeah. He tries to play bass.
And dead center, the gentleman.
What's up, man? I'm Mike. I'm the lead vocalist, I guess you could
from
say.
From lead vocalist. Cool.
Yeah, right on.
And where do you reside?
I'm over in Cypress Park, Highland Park area.
All right. Yeah. Right by the goal line.
There you go, man. That's it.
That's awesome.
It's a short walk. It's
That's
very nice.
Awesome. I love it. You know, Adam.
Yes.
You know, Adam's from Santa Barbara.
Yes.
Now, have you been to all these cities? I'm born and raised in LA. I always give the speech. 138 episodes. You know this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Huntington Park. You been there?
Huntington, I'm not sure. Where exactly is it?
It's like right by Southgate. You know where that's at?
Roughly.
Maywood.
Downey.
The Gardens,
yeah.
Downey.
Downey, yeah.
I'll just take Firestone all the way in.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I definitely spent plenty of time in Highland Park.
I got a lot of cultural questions to ask about that territory, and I'm going to tell you what buses to take.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, before we get into that, let's talk about how the band came together, Anthony. How did this happen?
Well, Joey and myself, we've been playing as bandmates since middle school.
We learned. Oh, wow.
Yeah, since Griffith Middle School, East LA.
Cool.
And we've been through many bands, and we were just trying to form something new after a good break. We knew Adrian for a while. He's a good drummer. He went to MI.
Okay.
And we
got
met
questions for you.
And we were looking for vocalists, so we were trying out all these guys from Craigslist, and we got this guy from Tennessee. Yeah,
I got stuck with me.
You're from Tennessee?
Yeah, originally. Born and
Nashville?
Raised. Knoxville, actually.
Knoxville, yeah. Wow, yeah. Wow.
On the other side of the state.
There's a great record store in Nashville, Tennessee called Grimey's.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
You know
I got
Grimey's?
Some friends in Nashville.
Okay, good,
it's
good,
back
good.
Home in Tennessee, man. We all know each other.
We all know each other, right?
That's how it is.
I love it. Okay, yeah. So how long has the band existed, Anthony?
Since 2011. 11, yeah.
Yeah.
From September 2011. Yeah.
Okay, now I want to go deep into every instrument. I mean, I play all instruments. So I got questions for all of you. Adrian, MI. Okay. Now, how does it go down there? Okay, like, MI, they put you through the pipeline. You learn, and then you like take what you know and make something of it, right? It's school, a Musicians Institute. Yeah. How much did it help you?
I mean, as a drummer, it helped me a lot, but I mean, as looking for a career in there, it's really hard to do that.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of work in any industry, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's more of kind of connections, you know,
right?
Knowing the right people there.
Right. Whether you're running a record label or doing a publication like Adam, right? Mm-hmm. Adam, like, let's talk about the content that you built on your first episode or your first issue, so to say. That's been like, you know, off your personal relationships, right?
More or less, yeah. You start with the bros, and then you move outward.
Then you move, it's bro love, right?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, okay, but to be serious, like, you know, MI has a reputation for breeding and being a breeding ground for the progressive, you know, shredders and, you know, guitar, bass, any kind of instrument, and the drummers, you know, all the progressive stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, did you actually learn how to read music?
Yeah.
Was it difficult?
Yeah, it is.
It is hard. I mean, not everyone could do it. That's why you have to go to school to do it.
Sight reading was probably the hardest to do.
Dude, that's insane. I can't even think about it. Like
half the time, I don't know what he's talking about. Well, that's in three.
You guys probably write something, and there's like a downbeat, or it's like a seven in sevens or something, and then you're like, that's 5-7.
Yeah.
And exactly. Yeah. Now I understand that because I played so much with guys like that.
He's our own little Rain Man, basically.
I love it. You know,
he just tosses out numbers.
So there must be a real interesting sound happening in this band. Now, I'm saying that in a way, like, kind of elusive, because not everyone's heard you. I've heard you. Mm. Adam, you haven't heard them, right?
No. I want to do the night.
So, you know, I think there's something cool and special happening, and that's why I asked you on. No. Come on. Not anyone special. Can come on here, man.
Thank you, very
man.
Special.
Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, Alkaline Trio, AFI, Los Lobos, Cypress Hill.
Yeah, we're following some hard acts.
Yeah. You know,
Matt Skiba, I don't know if I can follow up that guy.
Matt Skiba was great. You know what was awesome about that guy? Were you here? You were here, huh?
With Okay. Little Patron.
Well, you know, yeah. Actually, my co-host is Ephraim Schultz from Death by Stereo and Manic Hispanic, right?
Yeah.
And he's on tour in Australia right now. And so, you know, he's Matt Skiba's friend. You know, he was like, hey, man, come on to the show. So, you know, I hooked up with Matt beforehand. We had some conversations. And I'm at the front door with the window, not the window, but the door open. And a cab pulls up. And usually, like, you know, people are like, that don't know what's going on here. Like, it's all dark and they don't really know the situation. They'll be like, hey, I'm here for the radio interview, Los Angeles Nista, I'm here for Eddie, you know, that kind of thing. Mm. He gets out of the cab with a 12-pack and a bottle of Patron, and he just goes, hey, I'm here to party.
It's a professional.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
It's a professional.
He ended up disappearing that night.
He disappeared. We had Matt Skiba on, Money Mark, and Skate Master Tate.
All right.
Wow. Yeah. And it was just a great conversation. And so anyways, we had the little after party down the street and so forth, and you know, he vanished into thin air.
I like to imagine that the Patron just dwindled and then eventually he was gone.
Yeah. It was basically him. He kind of just, like, we were all having beers, but he had the bottle right in front of him and he was just kind of like working on it the whole time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then we left and we went to get a drink and he just kind of like,
you took a commercial break and you came back. You're like, he's gone. We don't.
Let's get back to Adrian. Okay, so how long have you been playing drums for?
I don't know, double digit years though.
Yeah. And who are, like, your influences that, like, when to this day, when you see them play or hear the records, like, man, I love playing drums because of this guy.
Well, I grew up on Travis Barker a lot.
He's good.
Yeah, Stuart Copeland, a lot of other drummers I could just mention that.
What do you think about Stuart? I mean, don't you think Stuart Copeland, for being, like, in a pop band, he hits really hard?
Yeah.
Pretty cool, right? I mean, I like the little dolphin shorts he's wearing. With like the Octobands and playing.
When he was in Police and those shows he's playing the police and he's little ski shorts.
Yeah, and he's like hitting so hard.
Yeah.
I kind of see like Taylor Hawkins mimicking him in a lot of ways. You ever see that?
Yeah, a little
bit. His style and like the, you know, I think he's like paying homage to him.
Yeah.
In a way. So Stuart Copeland, Travis Barker, and then that was your foundation, and like where'd you go from there?
Like I don't know in what sense where I go, just what kind of music I wanted to play.
I mean, that's your foundation, right?
Yeah.
Drumming, like who else from, you know?
Other bands?
Yeah.
There's so many. Danny Carey was another one, too. Mm. And all the drummers from Primus. I like Brain and Tim and
okay,
all of them.
I got some Primus. I got some Primus trivia for you. Okay, this is for Adam.
Uh-oh.
All right, because you're not going to have your cream team guy. All right, dude. What drummer? Okay, the drummer. Mm-hmm. I believe it's the drummer. Yeah, Primus. Larry Lalonde, right?
No, that's guitar. Guitar player.
That's guitar player. What band was he in from San Francisco?
I know.
Lalonde?
Yeah.
I do know this, actually, but I'm on the spot. Mm. Give me. He's in a metal band.
Yeah. Like with cred.
It was
street
like,
cred.
Exodus?
The singer, no, close. The singer is in a wheelchair right now because of a bad incident.
I thought you were about to say he's in a band called Wheelchair. Excited.
Wheelchair.com, SoundCloud.
It was one of those. It was one of those ones with. I mean, with Metallica and all those guys.
They're a black.
The
they're
time,
a black metal band, weren't they?
Just death metal.
Them. Huh? Just help them.
Do it.
Yeah. Just
possessed.
Possessed.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah. There's that thread, right?
Hey, dude. You and I have similar forehead scars. Yours looks fresher. How'd you get it?
Good question, co-host. Let's talk about injuries in Los Angeles.
All right. I know, it's best if he lies about it because it wasn't.
No,
like,
no, I'm just kidding. Are you cool talking about it?
I don't mind. Okay. I fainted.
Did you really? Did you really? Wow.
Yeah, I fainted and I hit my head very hard.
Actually, there was a group of bears coming after the band.
Bears.
This guy jumps out.
Bears. I beat myself up.
Were there stitches?
Yeah, there was 11 stitches.
Oh, nice.
He's a trooper, though. He's a trooper. He played a show.
He had a show right after that in, 100 degree heat?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you get the Harry Potter?
No, not yet. But they call me Frankenstein.
I got like 16 up here, but it was like 5 years ago.
Yeah. The boy who lives.
But it's pretty pottery. It's got.
Oh, because it goes this way. It's because this one goes this way.
Wiggle.
This one goes this way, so they call me Frankenstein.
But you can make your story a little cooler, by the way. You fell, you didn't know what happened.
These bears, right? The switchblades.
Yeah,
just change the location you were in, an alleyway or something.
I was in a bathroom in Burger King and I fainted.
Nice.
It was at a bar.
Were you cool getting down? You're getting down in a Burger King bathroom?
I was getting down in a Burger King bathroom and I fainted.
Yeah. So what kind of kit do you play?
It's a pork pie.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a Yamaha Stage Custom, but I don't play that.
So your life setup, like what's your gauge that you use? How big's a rack?
I don't have a rack. I don't use a rack.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I only have one. I have like the Buddy Rich kind of setup thing going on.
Floor. Snare,
snare, rack, bass.
How big's your floor?
Is it 14? 16? Yeah. 16
kick?
Inch.
Your
16,
kick?
Yeah. That's the old one. The kick is a 22, I believe. The snare's a 14. And the
Travis
rack
Barker.
Is a 12. Exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to follow in his footsteps.
Okay, so come on.
We need more tattoos.
We're in rhythm section mode right now. So, Anthony, bass player. Okay, man. How long have you been playing bass?
Since 7th grade. I don't want to put an age.
No, you don't have to.
Let's embrace it, man.
Over 15 years. Been playing with this guy. We both started playing guitar. He had an extra bass amp and a bass, and so I took the bass while he played the guitar, and I got stuck with it.
I forced him onto the bass.
You forced him, like, come on, dude.
I was like, I don't
want to
play
bass.
Bass isn't that cool, dude.
Yeah.
Chicks with basses.
It sounded easier.
What's your life setup like?
What do you mean?
Like what kind of gear do you use?
Oh,
for,
I have
a life setup.
You just got that new thing.
Oh, yeah, I just got
the orange tear. You were on my Instagram and you saw my pictures at Off and you saw Stephen McDonald. You were already on the fence of buying it, but when you saw it, you're like, I'm going to get it.
Exactly. And I used it for the first time last Saturday at the Wild Wild Fest.
Yeah.
And it was a really good sounding amp.
Very cool.
I use a Lakeland bass. And I just recently got a Dan Electro, kind of like Fat Mike.
Uh-huh.
One of those light basses that have a bad back and makes it easy to play. And I use a 8x10 cabinet Ampeg.
Nice.
And a 4x10 HLF as well.
Heavy.
Yeah.
What kind of bass player influences do you stem from?
I stem from...
Just say Fat Mike already.
That's okay.
It's the only one.
No, I started off, digging Fat Mike. I like Deftones and, beer.
Beer is an influence, for sure.
Beer.
Beer was an influence.
God bless you. That was like a sixth sense, man. Like, that was like psychic. Like, that was amazing.
We know what we're doing here.
God, you guys
we're pro, dude.
Yeah. This is awesome.
We are completely pro.
Matt Skiba got drunk here, all right?
Oh, yeah.
It's my goal.
Sendog hotboxed it in here.
Oh, that's
literally.
Really?
It's all on video.
That was brutal.
Yeah. That was heavy, dude.
Gotta look that up.
Yeah. Yeah, he was stoked. He was like, yo, this is awesome.
He's like, I want to come in doing a bong. song hit, so like came into the commercial, and he's like, like right in the mic or whatever.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, come on. I grew up in the MTV era, right? You too. It's like the '90s. You see all the, you know, Cypress Hill videos. You go to Lollapalooza, and then he's like sitting in front of you, and it's like, hey, you know, we're taking a commercial break. We're eating food. I'm like, will you hotbox it? He goes, I'll do whatever you want. And it's like, okay, come in. So, I mean, you know, that door closed and the rest is history.
After this commercial break, when you come back, we're going to be different people.
Yeah. I mean, come on. That was stokage right there when Sven Dog was in here.
Yeah, definitely. It was super smoky in here.
He was in here, too. You know why? Because a company made a Cypress Hill guitar called ASG, Artist Series Guitars, or a new manufacturer assembled in America.
Oh, wow.
And they make, like, a Sick of It All guitar. They make a Greg Hadson guitar. And they make, like, limited edition, like, Motorhead, Anthrax, like, just for, like, fans.
Oh, that's cool.
For bands, like, limited to 500 or 400, something like that.
Are they just custom made, or?
Well, it's like a custom paint job. It's like a limited run with a certain design that the band approves. And it's mostly, like, people buy them and hang them on their wall kind of thing. No one's really playing Cypress Hill guitars, I don't think. Except for the guitarist in Cypress Hill when he plays Rock Superstar.
Bro. That's when you know you made it, when you have a guitar.
Exactly. You know, with an album cover, that kind of thing. All right, guitarist. Dun, dun, dun. Get closer, get closer.
Gibson and Mesa Boogie Nomad.
All right. Let's talk about your influences.
I'm not good with name dropping, but Black Flag.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Descendants, older punk rock,
all the SST stuff, the cool, like, yeah, the classic stuff. Now, exactly. Okay, let's talk about Greg Ginn's guitar playing. All right, don't you think that what he's done for that genre, the way he plays his instrument, no one else plays that style.
Right.
Right. Yeah, there's heavy riffs that are so unorthodox, and it's like, right, what is he doing? You know what's funny is, at one point, I worked for SST for a long time, mm-hmm, and right before they did the 2003 reunion at the Palladium, it was called The Benefit for Cats. You know about this, Adam? The Benefit,
yes,
for Cats?
Yes,
I think I went to
is
that
it
show.
Actually, yeah, for cats?
Yeah, I'll give you the scoop.
Oh, my God.
Greg Ginn, like, he, you know what? No matter what you read about Flag and all this stuff, Keith has been in here, Chuck Dukowski.
Wow.
I could call them good acquaintances. Now, it's funny because there's lawsuits, there's this, there's that. But I go on record saying Black Flag is Greg Ginn because just look at the credits. Mm-hmm. He owns SST. He owns the masters. He's a guitarist. He writes most of the lyrics. It's his band.
Right.
Okay. So when I worked at SST, they did two nights at the Palladium. And it was 1208, Fu Manchu, Good Riddance, and Black Flag. And what was cool was, this is like right before the internet started popping with like social networking and all that. So there was this like weird little forums with like angry people just talking shit about, well, you know what I mean? Like
the birth of the internet.
Yeah, it was just like text.
With keyboards.
Like, it was just like bland text. You know, it was just text, you know? Mm-hmm. Weird. So what happened was, you know, I was just like, wow, like a lot of people don't like what's happening here because he's not announcing the lineup. And I worked there and Golden Voice was calling every day saying, we need to know who's playing because it's just Black Flag and it's $50 a ticket. It's two nights at the Palladium, and it's called A Benefit for Cats. And that's what's rad about Greg Ginn, is he's always moving forward. He does not give a fuck what people think, and it's his band. So during that time, he would kindly come in to the office and say, hey, you want to come watch us rehearse? So I would sit in a chair, and right where that wall was, I would see Robo, Cell on bass, Greg on guitar, and Dead singing.
Oh, yeah.
10 rehearsals I saw. And so I watched him, and I know this music like the back of my hand. Like I know the Beatles or anything else.
Yeah.
And I'm watching him do those crazy solos. And a lot of people that don't know because they haven't seen him play live because, you know, they stopped playing, right? Greg is calculated. It's not just nonsense. Yeah. He plays the same thing every time.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds the same as the record.
Yeah. So those crazy solos, like you think it's just chaos. He's just shaking. No, he plays the same thing every time. So when he's playing 58 notes within 5 seconds,
good God,
or whatever it is, it's like, dude, that's pretty genius.
That's right. The same thing with Pat Smear with the Germs. We saw the Germs play at the Grand Olympic Auditorium.
Yeah.
And his screw-ups were all calculated as well. It was like, man, it's just like Greg Ginn.
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Now, when it comes to his sound, too, I mean, you know, he's played the Dan Armstrongs, all that stuff. And then so did Stefan Egerton from Descendants. You're talking about that sound. He was like a, you know, Greg was his, like, idol. Or not idol, but, you know, he was, like, there were peers, but Greg was older. And then the Descendants happened, and they used the same gear. Right. Same thing with Blast. I mean, all those guys, I just think at that period of, like, hardcore punk and even power pop, like, the Descendants, like, they played like men. You know what I mean?
It's got to be a book you got to write, man. They played like men.
Like, these guys played riffs. They fucking downstroke like Johnny Ramone. No one played like they were, like, you know, pussies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Pretty much.
And so when you see pop punk play like men, there's nothing wrong with pop punk. Because it's like on full blast.
As long as it still sounds a little tough, you know?
Yeah. Like the Ramones, all that stuff.
An edge to it.
You know? So, I mean, so those two bands, Descendants, Black Flag, who else?
And I still go NoFX, I can go Good Riddance.
Yeah. You like the Fat Record stuff?
Fat Record stuff.
What about classic rock? Like, what classic rock stuff are you into? Or do you care about classic rock?
To be honest, I stick to what I listen to, and that's it, pretty much.
That's cool.
Oh, come on, man. You got a Stevie Ray Vaughan disc in the car right now. Right now, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah, I'll listen to some blues, but not really. Like,
I still want a blues solo on one of our songs.
All right. We have a caller for Tony.
Woo. Wow. Oh, man.
All right.
Somebody's talking to Tony.
All right. You're on the air with Courage You Bastards, Los Angeles Nista, episode 138. Tony.
How's it going?
All right, Tony.
Yeah. Tony, are you from Huntington Park?
He's got hey,
what's up? What's up?
Southgate.
What?
He's just yelling names.
Southgate.com?
Southgate, California.
What's up? What's up in Southgate, bro? You partying with Slayer? That's where they're from.
Oh, no, man. I like Metallica.
Old Metallica, yeah, right?
Enough. You can like both.
Yeah. You're like Big Four, homie. Big Four is all good, homie.
Okay.
Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, Metallica. Or like all the dudes in my neighborhood would go, Metallica. I grew up in Pico, man. Pico and Whittier.
Yeah.
Well, the way my nephew said it, Metallica.
Well, Whittier than Pico.
He likes Metallica.
Metallica. I heard of those guys.
Metallica. Metallica. Or that one dude, Slayer, he's bad.
You know, he's cool.
Isn't that a weird Slayer? Thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what's up? You want to tell Tony something? You want to tell him how great he is?
Yeah. Hey, Tony.
Hey.
Rock and roll forever.
Hey, I got a question about Southgate, bro. What's there more of? Is there more cholos or paisas?
Or is it paisa cholos?
Paisa, that's dangerous, man. Dude.
Wait. Can I interject? Sorry. Okay, yeah. Adam, is the other white guy in the room? Do you have any idea what a paisa is?
Rednecks.
A pizza?
Okay. Let's do it.
I'll move over tomorrow. Do you got pizza? Come on.
Okay.
Pizza.
Do you know?
Pizza?
Yeah.
I've heard it thrown around a bit.
Dun, 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 dun,
welcome to white country.
Look it. I'm Mexican American. Yeah. You know, I could say that. It's not a big deal. I mean, everyone's one and we're all equal. What I'm saying is I'm just being silly right now. But seriously, like, you know, the fucking Banda shit, the rancheras.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what any of those are.
Okay, you know, like.
They were playing a lot of those on Sunday, on Mother's Day.
Yeah. On your block, right?
They play those down in my neighborhood, and they sound kind of like Oompa Loompa music to me. But here's the thing. I would never mess with those guys in a million years. Because every person I see playing those is the scariest motherfucker.
Well, it's beyond gangsters. Like, they're here to, like, this is like. They're into life, dude. Like, they're holding their own for their family, and it's like whatever they're doing on the inside, it's they're protecting it.
I like
it. I thought it was Ricky Ricardo and Lucille Ball over there, man.
hey, there's an awesome group. Hold on one second. Hold on. You know what? The pizza's here. You think Annie could get it? I just said that
the
on
paisa?
The air.
The paisa's here?
The paisa! No, you know what was awesome? I have a friend. He has a half-sister. Okay, he's Mexican-American like me. His sister is like lives in Sweden. They have the same dad. No, yeah. Same dad, different mom. And she came over, and she was laughing because she was like posted up in Whittier with us. She comes from Sweden. We put her in Whittier. And it's like,
California's nice.
And then if someone does something stupid, I go, don't be a paisa, dude. Just fucking do it right. No big deal, right? You know, I have friends and family that are paisas, but look at. She's like,
I used to have Swedish meatballs.
She goes, no. It's funny because she goes, what's a picer? Because of the accent.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wait, so is Ricky Ricardo a paisa?
No, I don't think he is.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Like, okay, who's famous that's a paisa
on
TV? Oh, Kukui, right?
Hey, that guy, George Lopez.
No, he's not a paisa.
He's not a paisa.
Nah. He's kind of pocho, too, right? George Lopez, in a way?
Yeah.
Kind of, if you broke it down, he's pocho. Yeah, that means Mexican that acts white.
He spells George with the G. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a
all my Tennessee roots are just showing through right now. I don't know what that
is. I like how your eyes are locked in with Adam Murray because you're the only white guy.
It's like trying to explain math to a dog. It just is not happening. Not at all.
Okay.
Hey, I gotta go. Hey, Tony, you rock.
Hey, thanks. Hey, homie, calls anytime.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to take a music break.
Woo!
And we're going to come back and we're going to talk to the lead vocalist.
Oh, my God.
Find out about Tennessee.
It's a bad idea, man.
What he thinks of LA Mexican food. What does he, you know.
It's all going to go downhill from here. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to slam like 3 beers and we'll do this.
We are stoked.
If he thought Donald Sterling was bad, wait till you hear this guy.
No. Okay, so.
Get ready with your beeping buttons.
So we're going to listen to some Courage, You Bastards.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony, you ready to, you know what? We'll recap the songs when you come back.
All right.
All right?
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Let it rip. All right.
Yeah. Leave me alone. Let's get away.
welcome back to Los Angeles Nista. Welcome back to Los Angeles Nista, episode 138. I am the show producer, creator, and host, Eddie Solis. My co-host for tonight is the publisher of Heavy Cream Magazine, Adam Murray. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
I know you're good because you made your own magazine.
By hand.
By hand, bro.
I drew every issue.
Fucking caveman
perfect
style.
Perfect typecase.
All construction paper and...
Yeah.
No, seriously, Heavy Cream Zine, catch it online, order your copies. The inaugural issue is out. There's a value add. You get free. It's casual stickers and Stoke Record stickers. HeavyCreamZine.com.
You can sit in a place, your couch or your floor, and read it in your hands. And you don't have to worry about alerts coming in about various events.
Alerts. Yeah. Alerts. No, it's a great issue. It's something that's on the right path to what this show is. It's all about, you know, great artistic output, you know, productivity in the city of Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and all genres. It's not just limited to one thing. So that's cool, man. Check that out. My in-studio guest, Courage You Bastards, playing Saturday, May 31st, the Two Felons Skate Shop 10th anniversary official after party with It's Casual, with Foggy Nation, and with Wholesale Murder. Courage You Bastards. We just heard some tracks from you guys, man.
Tasty. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We played... what did we play?
We played a lot.
Yeah, we played... I kind of screwed up playing the songs. But,
it's okay. It's okay.
It was a Gut Wound, Pretty Princess. Uh-huh. It was the first song.
Fantastic New Prizes.
We played a song called Fantastic New Prizes and Coffee Cake.
Mm-hmm. Dignity.
Dignity.
Right. I love we could just make up names and people wouldn't care. Just throw them out there. Your mom's fancy blouse. That was a song.
Patty Pancake.
Patty Pancake. That's a Patty Pancake Part Two. Actually,
yeah, we play some songs off of our first self-titled EP and then our newest one we just released called Across. Oh, what's it called again?
Across Those Fires in the Dark. I'm so glad you're so excited about your band.
I can't remember the name of the album. This episode of Los Angeles Nista, episode 138, is brought to you by Amoeba Music, El Cholo Restaurant, Death Wish Skateboards, Camistar.com, Heavy Cream Zine, and Courage You Bastards. Now, we heard from all you guys. Let's talk about your singer from Tennessee.
Damn, man.
The boy that's been here for nine years.
My overalls are on the inside, man. You know, I never take them off.
So, let me ask. Okay, give us your full name.
Michael Lee Underdown. Yeah.
Wow.
That's not a stage name. I know.
That's not a stage name.
My old jokes used to be that I should have been born a supervillain, that I have an arch nemesis named Michael Overup, that we're going to fight to the death.
Oh, yeah.
Or that I'm a, a synonym almost, like under and down.
Well, or you could have been like in Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Underdown.
And Underdown. He does all the bass parts. It's beautiful.
Yeah, bro.
You're like the second Green Day guitarist that's like backstage. Like, feeling, you know.
Yeah, they never see me.
Dude, you know, I spend a lot of time actually in Tennessee.
Nashville, right?
Yeah, on tours and visiting accounts for work. You know, what made you, like, when did you commit to coming to Los Angeles?
Well, I originally came out here for acting from New York.
Cool.
So, you know, that was the original reason. And then I've been in bands since I was in high school. I was originally in a band that's taken off pretty big, good 10 years, which you've seen them around. But left them and then came out to do acting and had messed around, been in a couple of bands. And it wasn't until I got really specific and got on Craigslist that I found these guys.
Nice.
I just straight up went, hey, I want to do Gallows. I want to do Converge. I want to do, old school Black Flag punk stuff and just no bullshit, just straight up. So that's kind of where we landed.
That's cool, man.
A little more interesting.
Before we get into your craft of, you know, being a frontman in a band and doing vocals and contributing to the music and all that stuff, let's talk about your insight on Los Angeles. From the outside looking in, you hear and see what Los Angeles is supposed to be. When you got here, was it everything that it was supposed to be?
There are certain cliches that you're going to find in Hollywood that are just straight up like out of a movie. Like the guy driving around with his car where it's like, hey, my name's Woodrow Vansington and I want to be in your movie. Go put me in your movie. You know, it's like you see that shit.
desperate.
Yeah. And I Cholos terrified me, the white man that I was. But the cool thing was like
that's the quote of the year for 2014. Yeah. Cholos terrified me.
Cholos terrified me. White man reports. Nation unsurprised.
I've never locked my doors so many times.
I want to double check and just see.
Is it double lock?
White man conversation locks. Right here in Los Angeles, yeah. Episode 138. Adam Murray.
But here's the thing, though. Living in Cypress Park, like I had a guy down the street from me, and teardrop tattoo,
certified Cholo.
Yeah, like Avenue 43 tattoo on the back of his head, the whole fucking nine, and really nice guy. Just straight up really nice guy. So I've been out here about 9 years, so I think it's partially home. You know?
You know, I'm really proud of the LA subculture. I really am, because, you know, I grew up around gangs. But I went the route of music and skateboarding. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my friends, you know, that are my true childhood friends, maybe if they went in that gang direction or whatever it is, that's them. And I still am in contact with them. And it's like, you know what? It's funny when you're like, you know, hanging out and you just see like, they're just like the same person you met when you were 10 years old. Yeah. But they're all tatted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like, yeah, I mean, I just think that at the end of the day, like what you said, he's a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. I'm just speaking with a wide spectrum here. We all have, as humans, we have more in common than we don't have in common. Mm-hmm. Everybody, mm-hmm. Right? So that's the PSA for today.
That's the one thing I've learned over the years. And actually, even being on this show,
okay,
to be honest, like meeting skateboard legends or whatever.
Tony Alva, Christian Osoy.
This and that.
Greg Henson was in here, you know?
Yeah. All kinds of people. And, like, various things. Even, like, famous actors or whatever and some other shit. Anyway, what it boils down to is people are people, man. And as soon as you talk to somebody, you're like, oh, it's just another dude. Doesn't really matter, like, you know?
Yeah, and the great thing, too, is music will create bridges that you would never think was there. Like, I don't even like these fuckers. Like, we wouldn't hang out. We have nothing in common.
At gigs, you just hang out by yourself?
No.
And then they're in there.
I love them, and we become brothers, and they put up with me, like, reading poetry when we're driving to a show.
That's great.
The great thing is, like, I put out this ad, and we both went, Gallows. Okay, Black Flag. Okay, yeah, cool. Let's jam. And then it was just like, we wrote a song the first practice.
Nice.
Yeah. So do you remember your first practice? It was yesterday?
I do. I remember the guitarist, Joseph, was playing, or Joey, was playing the drums, and not very well. And I remember calling my girlfriend at the time, being like, "Yeah, I don't know, man, let's go somewhere, maybe we won't." But you know, it was fun, and we actually wrote a riff and wrote a song, and it was good to get back in. And then when they called me and I met with Adrian, we had a blast. And I think pretty much from there on, we wrote a song almost every practice, whether they were good songs or not. Now that's actually not
no open. Filler, all killer, or is it some killer, some filler?
That's a good mix, a good healthy mix.
You know, I got that from. Can I tell you?
Please.
Can I be straight up with you? Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay. I was watching. I'm really into the process of making good records, and I watch all the VH1 making of
Behind the Music.
Yeah, or the making of.
Oh, those record. Are better. Yeah, those
yeah,
are better.
And the Def Leppard making of Hysteria.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, they had Mutt Lange, the producer.
Oh yeah,
and he was like, "Dude, this will be the first record where it's all killer, no filler." And it's true. There's like nine number one hits or something like that on that record. But that's, you know, let's talk about
like
that. When you guys get together and write a song collectively, here we go. Band stuff.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
You know, let's be honest. You know, I mean, everyone's different. Everyone has their own vision. How, what's the process usually when you guys write a song?
Mm. Weird.
Oh yeah,
this is weird.
Oh, just weird.
I get completely naked and start crying, and then we go from there.
You build off that foundation, right?
Yeah, that's how I start pretty much everything.
Naked and crying.
Yeah,
you build
naked
from
and
there.
Crying, and then we go from there.
Nice. Each song has its own way of starting. Like, we have one where it's how Adrian, hey, can you do one in 7/8? And he'll just start playing.
Messing around. What's the restaurant? Play a 7/8 beat.
Because he knows what it is.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we end up with the beat in Fantastic New Prizes. Is it breaks down to this salsa,
that's cool,
beat thing, and then the white guy starts dancing. Everybody runs. But it's really awesome to stumble across something like that. You know,
suggestions are always made.
Cool.
Yeah. Like, oh, we're gonna throw in jazz or something and try to fit it in there somehow.
Okay, you guys are out there playing, busting ass. Let's talk about the Southern California music scene. All right. Now. you could pick and choose your words carefully, but you know, you don't have to. But let's just say that from my perspective, it's pretty rough out there to like be a band and be treated with respect from venues. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. I mean, look, my band's been around 10 years, 4 records, lots of press. Okay, you know what? I really don't play those kind of shows anymore. I'm able to play the Troubadour, Viper Room, and, you know, all this stuff and go on tours. I'm grateful for that, you know? But, God, man, I remember the days when you show up at Soundcheck at the Whiskey and you're like, where's the ticket money?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, the rest of it's coming. Well, you're not loading in until it's here.
Yep.
I mean, and it's just so like, you know, this is 10 years ago. And the first pay-to-play show It's Casual ever did was with Testament. And that's why I did it. I go, fuck yeah, I want to play with Testament, dude. That's my first show in a club with my band. And this was like a decade, maybe 11 years ago. But, you know, it's just really, I think, heartbreaking when you see how, at a certain level, these professional venues give local bands an opportunity, but they don't do it sincerely.
No.
Right?
No. Yeah. Right. It's the L.A. machine, man. I mean, I did stand-up for a while, too. It's the same thing. They're all bringer shows. Like, you got to put asses in the seats.
Right. They're not promoting it. They're providing a stage and a PA and a room. Yeah. And it's, and like, even if you, though, like what you said, those venues, like, okay, I brought people, pay me. And then they buckle up and they can't. Yeah. You know, that's where I say, someone who plays in a band, I'd rather play the Stardust and say, fuck the Whiskey and fuck the Roxy unless I'm going to get a fair deal.
Right.
I'd rather play the Stardust, plan it 2 months ahead, get a percentage of the bar off a free show, and I've walked out with $300 and sold $200 worth of merch, you know, or $300. Like, okay, it's a $600 night.
That's why I'm really glad we play angry music.
Yes.
Because I get to just get up there and just let it all out. It's nice.
So let's talk about what we're trying to articulate here. So, I mean, would you say that it's, not only do you have to be a band, but you have to be conditioned to deal with the phone calls. And what about the promoters that are, like, full of shit?
Oh, yeah.
The ones that, like, can't even, like, hold their own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they come down to you, well, you didn't bring no one. It's like,
it's like, dude, if you guys get people here, they're going to be unicorns at your fucking show, and they're going to rain money on you out of their mouths. It's going to be amazing.
And you show up, and it's some lame, like, this, that's everything's lame. We're like, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. We've had those shows.
Well, I mean, but that's where you learn, like, where not to go. You know, you learn not to go. Like, I'm not going back there. I'm going there. I'm not going back there. What do you think, Adam? Because Adam, he's a photographer. He takes a lot of photos. You know, he does them for Los Angeles Nista. He takes photos for a very credible online music magazine called Brooklyn Vegan, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you do your own publication. Who else do you take photos for?
Cult Nation,
yeah.
That's what I've been doing stuff for the past couple years or whatever.
Yeah, they're based out of Canada now.
They're great. Yeah, they moved to Canada.
What do you I mean, I met you when I was booking Relax Bar in Thai Town.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I did that because I was filling a void. I mean, it seems like there still is a void, isn't there?
I think there will always be a void. I mean, the thing about LA is that, like, people don't realize is that it's fucking overpopulated. Like, there's, you know, like it's more prevalent on TV with the acting and all that. There's probably thousands of kids every single day that move to LA to get famous acting.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also a hub for band activity, more than New York. I guess Austin's coming up a little bit.
But this is the king of entertainment here for everything entertainment, right? Stand-up, music.
So there's hundreds of bands starting up in LA and moving to LA to be in bands and stuff like that, and it's extremely competitive. And I think people are better off doing shit themselves. You can't rely on the Sunset Strip to, like, break you or whatever.
No.
You got to just start having parties or find
basements,
you know, East 7th Street Warehouse, these little places or whatever. Do some shit by yourself. If it's good, people will like it, and then they'll go, you know? Mm-hmm. But you got to, like, you have to just do it. It's like any kind of dream, like, artistically, you can't wait for someone to ask you to do it. You have to just do it because you have to do it. Like, that's why you're doing it in the first place, because you, like, feel the need to.
Yeah, you're filling a void in yourself that makes you want
to
do it.
And that means it'll be real or whatever. It's coming from somewhere, and then people will respond to it. But if you want to just, like, get famous or get rich, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's funny he says that because I don't know if, I think maybe you guys could even learn from this too. I mean, I learn from it every day. I know guys that, like, okay, Green Day's popular. So they're like, they act like Green Day and write songs like Green Day. That doesn't work.
No.
So now they're Papa Roach. That doesn't work.
Cut my life into pieces.
Yeah. And then it's the Strokes. Like, they just keep changing.
Right.
And these guys are like older than me. And I'm like, dude, that's where I get take a step back and I'm proud of what I've done with It's Casual, because it's like a decade, 4 records, you know, 2 singles, tons of press, tour in Macedon, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, I always, what you saw in 2003 or 2004 is the same thing you see now. I never tried to change. I was true to myself.
Yeah.
And that goes back to like, now this may sound corny, but I'm serious. I mean, it may sound corny, but it's like what Bruce Lee says. He goes, martial arts means to truly express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm a huge Bruce Lee fan, you know, and I think that's relevant to any art form, don't you? To
definitely.
Honestly express yourself.
That's why it's there in the first place.
Everything
he
is relevant to everything.
Yeah. Honestly,
I mean, just
say that again.
Everything he says is like relevant to life.
Yeah, he's a great with philosophy. Bruce Lee, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I can speak for the other guys, but for me, we're trying to get our record out there. We're trying to, you know,
work,
get people. But at the same time, like, I don't care if I end up on a stage with a microphone in my hand. I mean, I went 7 years without finding this outlet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being with people was like, oh, let's do this. Maybe we'll have a show, blah, blah, blah. But with these guys, we go there. There's a moment where it's like we sound checked. We're ready to go. And that's like you could shoot me in the head afterwards. I'm happy, you know, because that's the moment. That's all that matters. And I think that appeals to people, too.
Don't anybody
shoot me in the head after a show, by the way.
No.
That
was not an invitation. Somebody in the basement just like, yes.
You got to like fill that void or whatever. Just like you said earlier, like everyone's got something where they think something's missing or whatever. It's
and
like
you
why
do
I made
it.
The zine.
It's
why you make the thing. Yeah. It's why you might make a sub micro genre within a genre of music. If you're like, I don't think there's enough, you know, bestial black war metal slash jazz fusion.
Church burner, war metal, Norwegian, satanic, Hispanic music.
Like, I think there's a little niche that hasn't been filled. Yeah. I'm going to make that. I'm going to try to fill that or whatever.
My music is going to be 16 adjectives long. Fuck all of y'all.
Dude, okay. So you're really versed with using the public transportation infrastructure.
Okay.
Like you took, you know, the red line, the gold line.
I used to work at a restaurant in West Hollywood when I first came out here, and I would ride my bike over to the train and then take it over to Hollywood and Highland and go up the stairs. And that was fun. And then you see all the...
That's a good workout, walking up the steps.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see all the, you know, crack using, like, Elmos and shit out there at Hollywood Island. It's just, you know, that's a way to feel good about yourself every day when you're on your bike. But it was good. And I actually just recently repaired my bike, and I've been trying to get back out,
okay,
you know, on the lines.
Now, have you ridden the Gold Line?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I rode it a couple times. Yeah.
But mostly the Red Line.
Mostly the Red Line. Yeah. Mostly it's just for work, the Red Line.
Yeah. Now, so you're here from Tennessee and you see everything. Like what do you think of downtown? I mean, are you a fan? Do you come to downtown a lot?
There's parts of it that are really cool. Some of it gets a little sketchy and it's like a weird mix of hipsters and, you know, disturbed homeless people.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a party, but it's not as much. No, I found my haunts that I like. I really like the outdoors. I mean, I was living in New York before this, and out here is awesome because, you know, I can go to Elysium Park. I can go to Debs Park, like right down from my house.
That's awesome.
And you get access to the wilds out there. And I don't know. I like seeing another side of the city. Because when you're in a car, it's just like a big TV screen. You don't experience it, you know?
Now, come on. The rest of the guys are locals. Have you taken them to the real Mexican food? Has that come up? Have you guys done that?
When we played a show in Santa Barbara, on the way back, we stopped in Los Feliz. There's this taco truck that's off of Los Feliz Boulevard.
Right.
That's right.
Inside of a car wash parking lot late at night. And those tacos are really good.
They're good. But no East LA, no Boyle Heights, no...
No.
I live down the street from King Taco. I mean.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, I'm down the street.
By the 710?
Yeah.
They called the King for a reason.
Yeah. I'm down the street from the original
line. The Gold Line.
The flagship.
Yeah.
Yeah, down on Cypress.
We've taken him to the secret spot in Huntington Park.
The problem.
Are you a vegetarian?
No, no, fuck no, no, absolutely not. No, I would kill things if I could and eat them. But no. The problem is I got Irish blood, and so I just start pouring sweat.
Okay.
And one time I went out with a buddy, it's like 2 in the morning, someplace down in Highland Park. It was really good, but we switched tacos, which sounds like a sex move or something. It's not.
I grabbed his, and he had like the super hot, like melt your face shit, right? And
Is this still the sex move?
Yes, it was. And I was choking on it. I mean, I almost thought I was going to have to go to the hospital.
Well, was it goat's chili?
I have no idea.
Ghost chili is the hottest chili in the world, right?
Yeah, the ghost peppers.
Yeah, heard about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still haven't fully recovered.
Wow. Now, are you a sports fan at all?
No.
Do you care about sports?
No, I live down from Dodger Stadium. It's awesome. They hit the ball with the bat thing, there's fireworks, and fucking good for you guys. It's great, you know? And I wish they would take more steroids, honestly. I wish everybody would just get fucking ripped, jacked up
and just have heart attacks.
Fight, yeah, that'd be awesome. But, no, I like some MMA fighting and stuff like that,
you know what's rad is when you see the MLB guys and they're just all just blown up and they're like, I'm not on steroids.
What?
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Yeah.
My heart is beating so fast.
All right, so let's talk about Huntington Park, man. Okay, you guys are locals. Now, Huntington Park, Adam, I got to tell you, Huntington Park used to be a very, very, very... just, you know, upper middle class neighborhood, like mostly white.
Okay.
This is 50s, 60s. And now it's different.
We took over.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, so let's be honest. Okay. How would you describe Huntington Park to someone that doesn't know what it is? Explain it to Adam. Describe Huntington Park to Adam.
Explain it to the white gentleman across from you.
Is that on the way to Disneyland?
You know, like Fiesta Village at Knott's Berry Farm? That's Huntington Park, bro.
Well, have you heard of the Huntington Library in Pasadena?
Yes.
Okay, well, that guy had a park. This is for reals.
Yeah.
It was Rancho San Antonio.
Okay.
And Southgate was the south gate of the ranch, and Huntington Park was his park area. Hmm. And it was nice. They had carriages going through and everything. You see the old pictures. Now, you have soccer riots. Mm. Mexico loses, so embrace yourself. I mean, brace yourself when FIFA starts next month.
Yeah.
Stay away from Pacific Boulevard or La Pacifi.
Yeah. No, it's serious stuff. Yeah, it's parties, serious, right?
Yeah.
People driving in flag with Mexican flags.
Oh, yeah.
Turning
close down the streets.
And you know what's rad is when I lived in Pico Rivera, I'd be walking down a street on Durfee. I come from Tommy's, and then like everyone's watching fucking the soccer game, and like I'm skating with like my Tommy's back to the pad, like you know it's like a Saturday I'm gonna go play a show later, and I'm just like cruising real slow, and then all you hear is like goal,
20 minutes,
you know, and I'm going by everyone's house, so you hear it coming out.
Out of each
one. But they sing with more enthusiasm, right? Goal, they hold it.
We practiced down there, and I got pulled over one time because I was driving this old piece of shit Acura, and
you probably thought you were buying stuff.
Yeah,
huh?
No. It's funny because I was driving the most I was driving the most gangster car in the world, but I would
put
the tinted window down. And I'd be like, hello, officer, how are you?
He was white in
I had a cop pull me over and just like he did this double take, like, what are you doing down here?
Yeah. I got lost, man. I love it. I love it. So let's talk about, I got a question for you guys. Right. From a guy who plays in a band. What's your favorite venue in Southern California?
Wow.
Collectively. Mm-hmm. What, like, when you guys are like, yo, I love that place.
In all of our band experience or just this band?
Just personally. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Adrian. What places have you played that you just love playing?
I actually like playing the Showcase Theater in Pomona. I don't know if it's still there.
Corona. I played there back in the day, yeah.
That was in my first band.
To me, that place was like a replica of the Whiskey.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. I liked playing there, even though I heard that they were cranking up the heater so that people could buy water.
Yeah.
I heard they were doing that.
They were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know Ezot.
But I still like playing there. I mean, I don't know why.
Ezot, the owner, he used to own a place in Riverside called Spanky's. This is a little before your time. And I used to go there. That was a place. And like, you know, you'd go see Offspring before they blew up. Or like when they were on Epitaph, like, you know, at the same size place, you'd be doing those kind of shows. Offspring, Guttermouth, Face to Face, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. What about you?
I like the smaller venues. Stardust.
You like Stardust?
I like small places. The Phoenix 5-4. I love that place.
I love that place.
Sounds cool.
Everyone's right in your face.
Right. So
You know, that room sounds good.
Yeah, right. The acoustics are great in that.
Yeah.
That's why I like the smaller venues. The acoustics are awesome. Yeah. Sounds cool.
Especially if it's like wooden walls and stuff.
But I mean, I like the bigger places also, but the smaller places are.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
For sure, my favorite.
My favorite is probably when we played at the. What was that place? The Knitting Factory.
And on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, that stage sounded awesome. Usually the stage sounds like crap. You can't hear yourself. You can't hear the drums.
Yeah.
This one, we sound like we're in the audience, and it was great.
Closed.
You, sir? I will say the Phoenix 5-4 as well.
You just like that joint?
Because I can get right out with the crowd, you know. But I will say there's a place that closed where we played our first show. Which was the Second Street Jazz Club in Little Tokyo. And that place.
Oh, yeah, right here. Oh,
I know that place was always like kind of had a special place in my heart because I used to see like noisecore and punk bands back in the day. I'm like, I want to play here. And then my band actually played there. And they had a piano and I jumped off of it and almost killed myself. So that was fine. It was good memories.
What about you, Adam?
I don't know. It depends. You know,
what kind of music?
Well, no, like if you're talking sound, I like the Troubadour.
Mm.
But more recently, The Complex, which is on Glendale, the old scene.
It's
got like a medium-sized venue's sound system crammed into a tiny bar, and it's kind of like ridiculously loud and like bassy and stuff, but they don't overdo it. It still sounds good.
Yeah.
But then I like the punkier places like E7th Warehouse, which kind of reminds me of the Boulevard, which used to be my favorite venue when it was still open. But it depends on what you're going for, you know?
I would have to go with the Troubadour. And to me, it's the most consistent place from both perspectives because I've played there as an artist. I've, you know, done like the free Monday night, local night, played with my band or like open up for Fu Manchu or Fireball Ministry. Then I've gone to see really big bands do surprise shows. Like I've seen Kiss there, Foo Fighters.
Prince did a surprise show.
Yeah, I've seen Kiss, Foo Fighters, Anthrax.
Saw Carcass there a while ago.
Really big bands. And like every situation, like playing there, and going to see a huge band do a surprise show at that level, like an arena band in there, it's always been like consistent. Like, fuck, this sounds good.
Yeah.
This sounds really good. You know, and on stage, it sounds
And everyone's
great.
Close to the stage, whether you're upstairs or in front, or if you're in back of the front, you're still like, everyone's like within,
First time I saw Mastodon was there also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an amazing Japanese hardcore band called Envy that I saw there. That was fun. And the guitarist climbed the, the little, scaffolding or whatever they have around the stage. Like, he climbed and hung his guitar up there.
That's cool. That's cool. Like, so,
I'm Japanese. Fuck y'all.
Somebody else get it down.
You know, yeah. I saw, now you're talking Troubadour, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw something pretty amazing there. I saw Local H.
Oh, nice.
And Scott jumped out, like, when they did the hit Copacetic. When like K-Rock always plays, he dragged it out, and then it was just like the drums, you know, it's just a two-piece, and the drummer was just like a drum roll, and then Scott like turned his volume knob off and floated all across the Troubadour, to like right by the bar, and like grabbed on to the balcony and then jumped on the balcony,
nice,
and like started playing like wireless and started playing from there, and then he jumped off, and then that was pretty cool.
Nice.
That's what it's all about. Yeah, if you have health insurance, but if you don't,
because that wouldn't be fun going to
every time
hospital,
I'm on an amp, I'm like, can I afford this?
Trustful.
So stand up comedy, huh?
Oh God! Well, it's been about 4 years.
Do you have a comedy record on that iPod? Let's hear it.
No.
Me too.
I have
on YouTube
like
now.
One or two shitty YouTube
I
want to
see
videos.
That, dude.
No, it was. I mean, I just like performing, man. I just like being on a stage.
You're into it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. I just like. But the great thing about this is it's just this medium where I can fucking like just let go. I mean, just absolutely let go. And my pants actually at the Wild West, our last show, ripped from the knee to the crotch, right before the show. And then so I just embraced it. And by the end, I was like pantsless. Hiding under the stage. It was great. And they play like stage by stage by stage. I actually ran over to the other stage and stole the other band's people, which was...
Nothing wrong with that.
It was terrible, but it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Nothing wrong with that. So, like, when it comes to comedy, what are some of your, inspirations?
Bill Hicks, man. Bill Hicks all the way.
Really?
Well, he was great, too, because he had a real sense of... I mean, he always wanted to be a musician, and he would open for Tool back in the day.
What?
And, he went on tour with Maynard and all them. They dedicated a song to him on Anima.
Is that the last song?
That was the second one. Anyway, but it's, yeah, he's, he was absolutely the reason I got into it. That and like Patton Oswalt, the comedians of comedy, Zach Galifianakis back in the day. I think I'm going to return to it at some point, just not
you should.
While I'm with these guys.
Why not?
Like, hey, you guys, let's see some hardcore music. Anyway, let me tell you about my mom. She's from the South.
If they got a tune-up or whatever, start.
Yeah. No. Do your own show. I'm all about multitasking. Everyone should be as successful as they can be. I think you should be a session player for a bunch of other people.
But now he's
a drummer.
And give drum lessons and make money. And you should probably like write music for other people.
Yeah.
And you should probably like, you know, manage bands. You're good with business and you should do your comedy.
Yeah. Well, it's LA. You can wear a lot of different hats.
You know what I call LA?
Oh, yeah.
LA.
LA.
EL space LAY.
LA.
LA.
Get out of my way.
LA. You know what I like is like when you went, like, I remember like back in the day when you meet people, like, hey, like, you know, cause I come from skateboarding. Like, I skated with a bunch of dudes from like everywhere. And I had a mini ramp. So before the internet, people would find out like you had a mini ramp. And we'd be on my ramp in Whittier in the backyard. And you see people just cruising down the street looking for you. Because, you know, you're standing on, even if it's like 4 feet high or 3 feet high, you're standing on a platform and you could see them. You could see them. So I remember like people would roll up. You wouldn't know them. But you skate, so you're cool automatically.
Back home, we do that with moonshine stills. Moonshine. Like, I just back here.
You make moonshine.
Hang a right at this tree, see a dead squirrel, you gone too far.
So I'd be like, hey, where are you from? Like, HB? LA? Just kidding.
No, when I say HB, everybody's like, oh, Huntington Beach. I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, sure. Tonight I am.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Okay, cool, one more break. We're going to play a quick song or two. You got some more jams, or are we done?
Yeah, we got some gems.
Play some more gems. Courage You Bastards.
Just, you know, do it right this time.
Phoenix 5-4 with It's Casual, Saturday, May 31st, with Foggy Nation and Wholesale Murder. The homies.
The homies.
Here we go. Here's a song called Slaughter the Seas, Murder the Moon.
Let's do it.
Woo! Oh, what a beautiful morning as I rise and shine to see the sunrise, bathe my wife's pride dies, the soft eyes and the glowing light. She bore me two lives, two perfect lives, two perfect little girls. Wonderful, beautiful world. Blessing all this, headed to the office, trembling. I suddenly stopped and heard a voice ask, "What is all this? A matter of time before it's taken away. There's absolutely nothing that you can do about it." Well, I just don't know what to think. Honestly, I shiver as I hear the voice speak again. Sunset bleeding over my broken home and shattered on stone.
Welcome back to Los Angeles Nista, episode 138. I am the show creator, producer, and host, Eddie Solis. And my co-host for the evening is the publisher of HeavyCreamZine.com. HeavyCreamZine, Adam Murray.
Hi.
You do good work, man.
Thanks.
Living Off the Wall documentary. I love that.
Yeah.
Photo shoots of Bruce Kulick. I'm a huge Kiss fan.
He's the dude. He's a good dude. He has 200 guitars.
Dude, that's a lot of guitars. That's big time, bro.
That's too many guitars.
That's huge.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And my in-studio guest, Courage, you bastards. Well done, gentlemen. Well done. Huntington Park, Monterey Park,
East
Silver Lake, Cypress Park.
A lot of parks.
El Parque. You guys should change the name of the band to El Parque.
El Parque Holmes?
No.
Hey, now,
are you still scared of cholos?
No. I think they're, you know, they're
not
nice
since
people.
Not he joined the band.
No. The downside is now I have a dream to be one, but I don't think they'll ever
what?
Accept me.
They'll accept you, bro.
No. I don't know.
Maybe they'll accept you.
Myself. You can be like the Irish mafia guy. Like,
no, dude. Here's how it's going to go, lads. You know, all right, you know, 43 is going to move into a whole new territory now. You lads, stick with me.
No. You know what you're doing. You're good. Now, listen. You know, I just love how music brings everyone together. We're in one room discussing our passion, and everyone's celebrating their work because they're the in-studio guests. Ooh. Tell us about your website, Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Put it all out there. Let the world know, man.
Sing it out, Anthony.
You can reach us at CourageYouBastards.com or on Facebook. We don't have an Instagram because we're just lazy like that, but we just hashtag CourageYouBastards.
You can still hashtag. Come on.
We're on Bandcamp.
On Bandcamp, girl. You know you wanna click on the link. Get that link. I wanna be inside you. CourageYouBastards.com.
Now, was that the now what ballad was that? Was that Joey McIntyre from NKO TV?
I've been working on that for 3 months.
Was that note you could do on the block right there?
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Or is that in sync? I like that.
It was all those. That's my main inspiration. You know,
yeah.
Justin Timberlake before he got all like slick and sexy back.
He's from Memphis, right?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah, I believe he is.
I was always more of an AJ guy.
Okay, no, I can see that.
I don't know. No, that's Backstreet Boys.
You know, if I had to categorize our in-studio guest, Courage, you bastards, if I had to categorize you guys, I would call it straight up hardcore.
And we would accept that.
Is that wrong? Is that right? Is that what you envision?
Well, ask Adrian. He's the one that always gets like,
what do you think about it?
I was saying punk fusion, but I mean, whatever. I mean,
no, you know what I'd call it? Delicious. Blackened punk fusion.
Yeah.
I like that. How about that? You know, well done, guys. Next show is with It's Casual.
Yep.
Saturday, May 31st at Phoenix 5-4 in Whittier. Everyone knows where that's at. It's a free show. We're commemorating the 10-year anniversary of Two Felon Skate Shop in Whittier. It's going to be Foggy Nation opening up the show. Courage, you bastards. Yep. Wholesale Murder. Old homies from Baldwin Park. They used to be called Staring Problem. And
that's a good name.
And and it's Casual. We're going to be playing the new Los Angeles 1 and 2 back to back, nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
We're not taking a break. And you know, there'll be a PCP floating around for all the gangsters.
Oh yeah,
and
hotbox.
Yeah, hotbox. Hotbox.
Fishbowl of PCP.
Yeah.
And so you know, I'm stoked, man. You know, Adam Murray, co-host, HeavyCreamZine.com. We're doing that value add till while supplies last. Right.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, and let's give a shout out to you guys and any other websites you need to promote before we go.
Nothing else.
No. I think that's it.
Facebook. You want to say bye?
Okay. I want to promote Facebook.com.
We got a minute. Last thing you want to say? Let's go down the line.
Thank you for having us on today.
You're welcome.
Well said.
Same thing. I have nothing else to say.
You had a good time?
Very good time.
Anthony?
All right. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Eddie. We're looking forward to the 31st.
Cool.
Get this thing rocking.
Yeah. Let me take this moment to tell you guys about a real special organization back home in the South. No, I'm just kidding. It's been awesome being out here, you guys. Thank you so much.
Let's get some moonshine next time.
Woo! I know. These guys keep... Every time I go home, they're like, dude, where's the moonshine?
Los Angeles Nista, episode 138. Thank you very much, Courage, you bastards. Woo! Awesome.